Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and HY FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Bansal Fintech Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravindra Kumar Toshniwal, Vice Chairman from Bansal Fintech Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hi, and good afternoon, everyone, and I welcome you all to our Quarter 2 and half-yearly FY26 earnings conference call. Along with me, we have on this call our CFO, Ms. Kavita Gandhi, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope all of you have been able to go through the investor presentation uploaded on the exchange and our company website. Now, I would like to share with you our financial performance, but just briefly, let me touch upon our industry landscape. Historically, the Indian textile industry has been largely dominated by cotton-based products. However, we have seen over the past two decades a clear and steady shift towards man-made fibers, driven by many factors such as affordability, durability, ease of use, and evolving consumer preferences. The man-made fiber and the man-made fabric industry in India remains evolving and holds significant growth potential. Globally, while MMF accounts for nearly 70% of the total fiber usage, in India, it only stands at around 40%-45%. This indicates a large opportunity for growth. The domestic MMF market is expected to grow at a CAGR of around 6%-7% in the coming years, supported by a good, strong domestic demand and favorable policy initiatives. Within the MMF, polyester as a fiber dominates, and various government measures have already been introduced, like the PLI and the reduction in the GST from 12% to 5%, and this is expected to further stimulate the demand for our MMF-based products. Overall, the shift from natural to man-made fibers is expected to continue, and we expect a growing demand for performance apparel, positioning India for a long-term growth in the global textile value chain. At the same time, we are mindful that there are several headwinds and many ongoing global uncertainties. This is especially true of the U.S. tariffs, which continue to impact many of our textile industry players. Fortunately for Bansal, our direct exposure to the U.S. market in the form of garments exported from India is relatively low, and so we have not been exposed so much to the direct tariff. In fact, our fabrics continue to go to the U.S. market through the various garment-making nations who have a lower tariff than India, namely Vietnam, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and also Jordan, Egypt. Our long-standing relationships with the clients continue to remain, and many of the clients from other international markets have helped us to maintain steady growth. We are reasonably pleased with our performance for this quarter and the first half of the fiscal, where we have had a recovery from the Quarter 1, which was not good. Our total income increased by 12.2% sequentially and went up to 347.4 crores in Quarter 2 FY26. Our gross margins remained strong, consistently above 50% during both the half-year and the recent quarter, highlighting our focus on operational efficiency and our product mix optimization. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at 33.6 crores. This is a jump of 53.3% on the last quarter. Our profit before depreciation and tax came in at around 23 crores for Quarter 2 FY26. We reported a PBT, a profit before tax, of 9.5 crores and a PAT of 7 crores in Quarter 2 FY26, compared to a loss in the previous quarter. For the first half of FY26, our total income now stands at 657.1 crores, which is a 6% increase compared to the same period last year. Our EBITDA stood at 55.5 crores, which is also an increase over last year. However, our PBT and PAT is marginally less as compared to last year due to the higher depreciation and interest cost. The net debt as on 30th September 2025 for our company stands at 508.8 crores. This is an increase of 52.7 crores over last year. And this increase is primarily on account of our ongoing capital expenditure and our higher working capital requirements to support the business growth and operational needs in this difficult period. Our continued focus on our value-added products, our utilization of resources, and our long-standing client relationships help pull us through this very difficult period. And despite these challenging environment, we managed a reasonable performance. Speaking about each of the divisions, broadly, the yarn division has been flat with no real increase over the last quarter and on the half-yearly basis. The sales volume remained at 49 lakh kgs, and for the whole year, for the half year at 100 lakh kgs. And the capacity utilization is at about 81%. This was impacted mainly by labor shortages in the first quarter one. But this has improved in quarter two and is now expected to be stable. We continue to focus on trying to deliver more higher value-added yarns in this commodity-driven market. In our fabric division, we reported a very strong performance in quarter two FY26. With revenue rising 13% year-on-year and 27% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 149 crores, supported by a healthy demand in both domestic and international markets. And for the half year of FY26, revenues grew 9% year-on-year to 266 crores, reflecting a robust demand in key markets, including the Middle East, UK, and the European regions. Our sales volume increased 19% quarter-on-quarter and rose to 59 lakh meters in quarter two, while the first half of FY26, it stood at 109 lakh meters. Our flagship brand Simone, Federico and Fili and our new collections of stretched Syro yarns and fabrics continue to gain a lot of traction in both the international and domestic markets. Our capacity utilization improved to 77% during this quarter, and we hope that we can continue to do better as we go forward. In our garment division as well, the growth was very good, and sequentially we grew 7% from the last quarter to rupees 80 crores and reported a 13% year-on-year increase for the first 6 months to 155 crores. The capacity utilization remained at 78% during the quarter. And while the overall operating environment continues to remain challenging, the division has maintained stability through disciplined execution and finding alternative markets to the USA, where we had invested a lot of time and energy to build many customers and lost some of our garment businesses there. The division continues to focus on operational efficiency, capacity utilization, and maintaining a balanced growth trajectory across key markets while not being too focused on the U.S. To summarize, while our yarn growth was flat, both fabric and garment businesses are showing improvements in both top line and bottom line. And with that, I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Ravi Shah from BRS Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, Ravi.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
So, basically, my first question would revolve around our capacity utilization. So, could you elaborate on it? What would be our normalization in yarn and what is the optimal run rate and what currently limits us? Is it currently labor, demand or logistics?
So, for each one of our businesses, it is different. For yarn, the key bottleneck is labor. And this is a seasonal thing which happens yearly. So we're not too perturbed by that and we have got it back under control. The seasons vary every year due to various religious festivals and marriage seasons. And this is something where, long term we are quite accustomed to finding solutions for most of the months. But except for a few months where we do have to suffer some utilization problems. There's no other challenge. Sales is perfectly robust. We can sell everything we produce. And if we do get better utilization, it'll help improve our overall margin. Now, for the fabric division, there is no labor shortages at all. The only constraint is being able to sell more fabric. We have enough capacity, and we try to utilize our capacity for products that have more value in the market. Stretch fabrics is what we are famous for, and we are the leaders in man-made stretch fabrics in the country. There is now a demand which has increased, in fact, because of the GST change. And this is a very interesting situation where in earlier the garment which was sold in India at 1,500 attracted 5% and anything above that was 12%. Now a garment up to 2,500 rupees is attracting only 5%. This means that a fabric which we were earlier selling at a price the fabric that went into a garment of 1,500 could only be about 130, 140 rupees a meter. Whereas now, if it goes into a garment, they can afford a fabric up to 250 rupees a meter. So we are seeing now that most of our better made fabrics, which we were selling all over the world, are now ripe for India without the GST increasing to 12%. And customers are upgrading their product. And we will see that this is going to be a very healthy sign for the industry in MMF particularly. Garment division, the bigger challenge was the US market. So, like I said, each of the divisions had a different challenge. The yarn was the challenge about the labor. The fabric division is about demand at a particular price. And the garment division is about the U.S. market with the 50% tariff has become prohibitively expensive for them to import from India the whole garment. So we've had to shift our base of selling fabrics via other countries and offering even some discounts where we have continued to engage with customers, even at prices which are at par, because we believe that this whole matter of the tariff will eventually go away. It's only a question of time, but we have to last through this and manage to get out of it in a better way while still maintaining the relationships. So I hope I've been able to answer your questions.
Thank you so much, sir. Very clear. So continuing on what you mentioned about other countries, sir, now the FTA has been signed with, is upcoming with UK. So yeah. how do we expect that to impact our exports and what kind of scale up are we planning for FY26, FY27 in this area?
Yeah, so the UK, the only challenge right now is that they yet have to ratify this in their parliament. And that takes about a process of 1 year. The agreement was signed in June. And we expect the ratification to happen by the UK government in June of 26. Post that, there will be a duty-free status. Until then, goods going into the UK from India still carry a duty. And that is why we have to still wait for the real demand to pick up. The customers are doing a lot of sampling and a pre-order costings, it's in pre-order sort of like scenarios. But the real orders will only begin to flow when deliveries will happen which are duty-free. So we're still waiting for that.
Very clear, sir. Thank you. So last question again on a macro level only. How do you see India's cost competitiveness relative to Bangladesh and Vietnam in garment exports post this FTA, which we just spoke about?
So post the FTA, we'll be in a very good position in many areas of the garment. So we may not be most competitive at the cheapest end, but in the end of where we are talking about making a little bit more tailored clothing or better sportswear, we should do very well because we have an integrated ecosystem in India, which goes all the way from fiber to garment, whereas in Bangladesh, they have to rely a lot on imports of the fabrics. So there is that advantage. Speed of operation is what we are improving. The customers today look at reactivity and service as being equally important to price. And here is where we are trying to find a niche for India, and we are hoping that we will be able to do better. So I think that as time is going by, Bangladesh has its own challenges of the elections coming up, of various absenteeism, port strikes, and there is no customer who wants to be reliant only on one country. They do look at India as a long-term potential and want to engage with us. So I think there is a good future.
Understood, sir. Thank you for such detailed answers and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Prisha Rathi from NM Securities. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nisha.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I have a couple of questions. So my first question is that what share of yarn production is now value-added or specialty yarns, and how is this contributing to our margins?
Right. So out of our total yarn production, I would say about 30% to 31% may be value-added right now. Yeah. We hope to take it to 50%. The challenge is that a lot of these value-added yarns can only be leveraged and removed to 50% if we use them in our own fabric, and likely also if we use the fabric in our garment, but that's not necessary. We need to find ways to use these more value-added yarns with the right kind of finishing. Because people do not have the right finishing capabilities in the country, they are not able to use more value-added yarns. And we have that advantage internally, and for that we are seeing how we can even leverage our total capacity of finishing by doing some of the run-of-the-mill finishing outside and using outside capacities and using our own capacities for the more value-added finishing and delivering to the customers the product of our specialty yarns in fabric form. So this is one strategic focus we have, and we're moving along that direction to try and increase it. The margin improvements is significant. The margin of EBITDA, let's say, if you do these more value-added yarn sales, is maybe about 15% as compared to 7 or 8%.
Okay, understood, sir. So my second question is on raw material side. So raw material cost as a percentage of sales remained largely stable YOY. Could you break down the movement in polyester and viscose input prices and your ability to pass those on to the customer?
Well, I would say if you look at our gross margin is slightly better. And we have been able to be steady on that, which shows that we are able to pass it on. That is not a challenge. We remain more innovative in terms of whatever we are making, which is why the raw material price impact is not that significant. What is significant for us is internationally the price of polyester and viscose in the country is higher than China. And we have a QCO the government has imposed, which prevents us from getting these fibers imported into the country for freely. Like, this is restrictive in a way. It's like a non-tariff barrier. and this is preventing it, but there is a lot of lobbying going on with the government, and the government is listening, and we hope that if this QCO goes away, there will be there then really no challenge even for the international market.
Okay, okay. Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the first question from the line of Nirbhay Mahawar from N Square Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I joined the call late, so I may have missed this. But I just wanted to understand, in last 2-3 years, business environment has been reasonably competitive. And is it leading to any consolidation or gain of market share for players like you?
So, Nirbhayji, thank you. Welcome to the conference, and you've always been there supporting us through many years. I can say that, the industry, as far as we are looking at it, is consolidating a lot in the worsted business. So we have made significant investments in our polywool and all-wool business, including in Simone as a brand. And we have seen that the business globally has shrunk, and there is a lot more consolidation in the worsted business because China has gotten out of a large of these capacities. There were two or three very large mills in China which have closed down. So we are seeing there is a buoyancy in this worsted business which seems to be very healthy, and we have increased our volume of the worsted, and you will see therefore that even though we have reduced the meters we have sold, the sale has increased by 13-14%. So we have increased the value per meter by selling more worsted blended fabric overall. The other consolidation we see happening is that in the spun yarn industry, there is no more capacity addition happening as such. So there is limited number of players who are left. And those who are left are being able to become a little bit better at getting the price they want. Since the capacities are not being added the way they were happening before. So I think by and large, we remain at a good inflection point where if we can from India, really get into taking head on the Chinese competition, where China is showing less interest relatively in many areas of the complex part of the textile business, those are up for grabs, and we can take that business.
So, sir, in terms of capacity utilization, like, what would be our blended utilization for the whole?
I would say it's between 75 to 80% right now. So we still have scope in that capacity utilization part. I had explained earlier, the yarn part is only the challenge is the labor. It's not about whatever we produce, we can sell in yarn, but we want to produce the better stuff so that we have a better margin. Otherwise, it's a commodity price, and sometimes it's just not worth producing it. So the fabric part is very interesting, and the garment part is even more interesting, and we plan to increase our fabric and garment sales significantly, including the internal consumptions of our yarn, to be able to get an overall EBITDA margin that keeps improving.
So in terms of revenue size, what revenue we can deliver if demand is not a constraint? Let's say 3 years down, 2-3 years down the line, let demand revives significantly and then...
Yeah, so I see that demand will revive because there are not many players coming in, and it is an essentially complex operation at a high capital cost. So the barrier to entry is very, very strong. So we will see the demand come back for sure. As the Chinese get less interested in it, it'll be even more buoyant. And we will say that, you know, at this point, we are not projecting hitting more than 1,400 crores by the end of this year. But we had always said that without any significant capex, we have the ability to hit 1,800 crores. And we maintain that. It is just a question of the demand coming back within the next 2 years.
Ben. Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Runit Kapoor from Investair Investments. Please proceed.
Yes. Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, Runit.
Yeah, hi. So actually I had a question on, I've seen your debt has skyrocketed now to above 500 crores. So I want to know, like, how much is the balance capex spending for the year? And when do we see deleveraging begin?
Yeah, Runit, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. So,
yeah, you
were
concerned about the debt. Yeah.
And the
yes, you're right. The debt has gone up by 12.7%, as we said, about 52.7 crores. It has gone up from last year. This, in this given challenging the landscape which we had in the last 1 year of trying to retain customers and give them incentives to continue to buy, we have extended more credit. And due to this, some of our debtors have gone up. And also we have had some investments which we have made. So this is the reason why this has happened. But we are slowly getting back to our old credit terms. And we are getting back into being more financially prudent in terms of whatever inventory we manage. Both inventory as well as the debtors increased. And this had to be supported. I think it is exceptional, and it was still creditable in a way, that in spite of these increases, we managed to claw back our profitability to be the same level. And we think that in spite of these increases, which may persist throughout this year, we don't expect that the profitability will drop. So this is something which we are trying to maintain and not let the sales volume go down, even if we have to incentivize the customers a little with faster deliveries, which means more inventories and more better credit terms, as long as we don't have bad debts, which we are controlling very well.
Yeah. Okay, and the balance capex, I think your modernization exercise was supposed to be completed by this year. So how much is spending on that front?
I'll let Kavita answer that if she's around.
See, the balance capex for the remaining rest of the year will be also in the range of around 70 to 80 CR.
Okay, and so right now is the debt expected to increase because like how are we going to fund this?
Long-term debt will increase, but as Raviji explained, we are keeping a very tight control on the working capital, so that we will try to maintain it. Of course, for some period, the long-term will increase.
So, overall, if I see that like, your modernization should be completed by this year?
This year, or maybe it may flow in the quarter one of next year, because by the time you get the machine installed, start working, so it may spill over in next quarter, next year, quarter one.
Okay. And secondly, what would be the guidance for the year, like, because given like the first half has been steady, like earlier we were starting 20% growth, but given the challenging environment, I feel that would be difficult to achieve this year.
Yeah, we're looking at about 10% growth at the end of the year, maybe.
Okay, and margin would be stable, like at current levels?
Yeah, I mean, we are hoping that we would be able to at least achieve what we did last year in terms of profitability, in spite of the higher interest cost and depreciation.
Okay. And lastly, wanted to know this any chances of expansion into technical textile yarns?
So we are doing a lot of work on the technical textile yarns, and we have a lot of para-aramid and FR-based yarns that we have produced and fabrics of them as well. And we have got a technical fabric division which is working very hard on trying to build businesses right up to the garment level with this. But right now, it is not a huge business. It may be about 8 or 10 crores. We hope we can grow it.
Okay. And any targets for this? Like, why next 2 years, 3 years?
Maybe it'll be better to give you targets in the next quarter when we are maturing this business.
Okay. And lastly, I don't know, has the Surat facility restarted for garmenting?
No, it hasn't. And so that's also a, let's say, a hidden capacity that would be available to us from definitely quarter one of next financial year. And as we are saying that we are focusing on growth in both garments and fabric as the growth engines, this additional capacity, once it comes into play, and the U.K. FTA will also be completely operational by then, hopefully. At least by June, we expect it to be operational, and as well as a FTA, which is on the cards with Europe, may happen. And who knows what will happen with the U.S. The tariffs may go away, and they may suddenly be a boom. But domestic market, for sure, is showing a lot of signs of healthy appetite for us. So we expect that any additional capacity that comes in Q1, we will be able to utilize. And next year, we will set an ambitious target for our garment business as well as our fabric business. So I hope to be able to share that at the end of the year.
Yeah. And just lastly, suppose a trade deal is beneficial to India, on beneficial terms for garmenting. So do we have the capacity to leverage,
Yes, like I'm saying, we have this hidden sleeping capacity in Surat, and we have also arrangements with several other garment makers who have capacity and would like us to sell it for them. So I don't see a challenge in capacity right now.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That's it from my side. All the best for the future. Yeah.
Thank you, Ronit.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Pujit Agarwal, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Agarwal.
Yeah, hi. I was just looking at the numbers. The last super cycle that happened in terms of textiles, in terms of spinning, weaving, garmenting, the entire bunch was in 2022.
Correct.
Somewhere or the other, I understand for Banswara, one of the biggest markets since you are specialized in synthetic dyed is Turkey. So I just wanted to understand the trends that are continuing in Turkey, so to say.
So the bottom has fallen out of the Turkish market now for the last 2 years. And really, the Turkish market has become expensive, and it is one of the markets where the inflation has been so high that it used to be a primary supplier of fabric to Europe, and even that position is now threatened because of the cost structure in Turkey. So we have been able to adjust very rapidly to that loss of market. It was only for yarn in any case, and we have developed different markets for yarn in Belgium and in many other countries in Europe for our export part. But more importantly, our yarn consumption into our own fabric division is increasing, and which is of a more value-added yarn that is used for stretch fabrics, that is used for technical fabrics, and for other end uses, which are more specialized. So we don't see a challenge in selling the yarn capacities and even selling at a better price in the other markets available other than Turkey. Turkey is no longer a viable market.
Got it, got it. From what I can understand, is like, have you guys been able to gain market share? Like, for example, Turkey, as per your comments, Turkey has been losing market share in terms of fabric and in terms of end garments. Like, have we as Banswara been able to gain market share and capitalize on this opportunity?
Yes, we have. As you can see from our numbers, that both in our fabric division and in our garment division, the numbers are growing well in a situation where the tariffs and the overall uncertainty in the world was very large. So if you look at the numbers from various other competitors of ours, our numbers are fairly better compared to the Satluj or RSWM or even a Sangam. And this is proof of the fact that we are doing much better in terms of being able to maintain our market share or even grow it. And going forward, I think that you will see a significant growth. We are hopeful.
Got it. If I could extrapolate this question, I feel like we as a company have set upon a very good trend that will continue for the next 3 to 5 years. So, like, I mean, I just wanted to understand what would the TAM be and what would our addressable TAM be that, like, I mean, as Banswara, we are able to capitulate in terms of revenue for our company.
So, I mean, the TAM as a total accessible TAM is a huge one. This is a very, very big market, and it's a huge number that we need to get at. But as far as we are saying, you know, what we want to do as a strategy is improve our fabric and garment business using our own yarns as much as possible. And our yarn capacity that we use right now internally is only about 25 to 30%. So we have a long way to go in capitalizing at least 50% of our yarn production into more fabrics and garments. Adding garment capacity is something we are very open to, and we would do it in a jiffy, and it doesn't take much money to do it either, provided the demand comes, and we are seeing that it will come. You know, there is no reason why India will not remain a player, as you yourself say, for the next 5-6 years, because we are on a trend where the MMF business from India is just beginning to take off. You know, with the right kind of support from the government, which it is now open to, and the desire to acquire more garment space, to grow our fabric space a little more, and push more of our yarns into the full chain, so we become a vertical supplier who is able to do responsive and fast deliveries for customers all over the world. And we will focus on a key 3 or 4 big customers. That is the strategic intent. And we hope to get down that path very quickly.
Got it, sir. So if I may add like a couple of questions, the government recently launched a PLI for fabric particularly. Have we as Banswara been participated in it?
No, we did not. Because we have enough capacity right now already, and enough capacity is available for us also as job working in our region in many, many parts. And if you look at the really good numbers that have come about in textiles, like say for CRM or for Raymond, the numbers have come for companies who have specialized capacities within their houses and use outside capacities for the bulk volume. This way we are able to leverage our capex and our overall investment and get a better ROI.
Got it, sir. So just for my understanding, sir, what would be a asset turn, like thumb rule in terms of garmenting and for a fabric, like just as a thumb
rule? So for fabric, if we invest about 100 crores, we should get at least turnovers of about 250 crores out of it. For yarn, it is almost 1:1. And for garment, it should be about 4 to 5 times.
Got it, sir. And like, I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, using your ecosystem to actually leverage it, like in terms of numbers, I'm pretty sure like it's not reflecting now, but I'm pretty sure in the future it will reflect. I'm very happy to see the progress that we as a company have been making. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for your encouragement.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nirbhay Mahawar from N Square Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, just a follow-up on the debt side. We have been aggressively spending on CapEx. And you mentioned around 70-80 crore would be spent post I think by year-end or first quarter of next year. So would it be fair to assume that our debt will peak next year and then we can expect deleveraging cycle to begin, or we have another round of CapEx lined up?
Well, there's no particular round lined up, but in terms of when the present plans that we have already put into place expire, I'll just ask Kavita to comment on that.
Nirbhay, next plan, it's not something has been in the pipeline. But as and when some opportunity comes or some maintenance, small CapEx required, that time we do. So as such, there are no big plans. But yes, the debt will be little higher for the next 6 to 9 months. And then we can, once this entire production cycle starts and installation starts and all that, then we will slowly getting on a reduction path.
Yeah. I think, you know, the main thing for us is now to leverage the product mix we have and the reputation we have as being one of the foremost solution providers as a composite mill for the MMF solutions, and then be able to ramp up the business and take more orders, where we can use our full capacities and leverage outside capacities to grow the business without having CapEx necessarily happening.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ravindra Kumar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, everyone, for your insightful questions, as always, and for your support. I'd like to just conclude with a thank you to all of you for being there with us. And the quarter two for us has been a quarter with steady progress and showing our resilience. And despite the industry headwinds and global uncertainties, we do believe that our offering to our customers is something where we will find long-term partnerships, which will allow us to achieve the utilization and the profitability levels that we are talking about. So hopefully we will get there sooner rather than later. Thank you very much for your support and look forward to see you in the next earnings call. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Banswara Sintex Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.